Final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Let's say hello to Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. Hockey Night in Canada. 32 thoughts. He's in the belly of the beast in Montreal. Elliot, if you were to have to walk away from this hit in Nashville, what would be the news that would have you going, guys, got to go?
Well, sorry. I just had someone talking to me on the street. I kind of missed the question. Hit me with it again.
I said, if you have to say during this hit in Nashville, guys, I got to go, what's the news that could likely happen during this hit that could have you saying, guys, I got to go?
I think the Devils and Blackhawks are talking about Alex DeBrincat in a second hit. I don't know how likely it is, but I do think they're talking about it, and that's probably one of the things that could do it.
We saw the Chris Letang deal in Pittsburgh. Wow comes to mind, really? 6 years? Over $6 million per? We didn't understand it. What say you?
I understood it because I heard yesterday that there was a team that was prepared to make Letang a significant four-year offer. And so... Let's just say someone was willing to offer Letang 4 times 9. That would be $36 million. And this deal is 6 times 6. And the other thing too, it's front loaded. Most of the money I think is in the first 2 to 3 years. So I wonder, I think that gives Pittsburgh better shape for a buyout on the back of the end, if that's what they have to do. Letang is 36. But I think they really wanted to keep him. You know, he had a great season last year. He had a great season. I think they felt they still needed him. And what this says to me is that they just felt that they had to do this deal to match what Letang was going to get out there, and they decided he's still too valuable to their team to let him walk for nothing.
Well, the Stanley Cup champs just made a move, and it's in net. What do you make of the deal with the Rangers?
Well, I guess, well, the Rangers had to move Gorgiev. They weren't going to be able to qualify him. The number they had to qualify him at, they couldn't fit into their salary cap. So it was one of the worst-kept secrets that he was likely going to be moving. And they kept on trying to ask for a bigger price. They really couldn't get it. And this is probably about the best they could have hoped for. Now, obviously, they see something in Georgiev. Like, at times, Georgiev has shown that he could be a pretty good goalie. And at other times, I think teams have really questioned whether or not he's good enough to carry a number one job. This will be a 1-1A in Colorado with him and Pavel Francouz. I'm really curious about this because I think a lot of us thought that there was a decent chance that Kemper was going to stay. And I guess what happened was he heard what was out there, and it was just too rich for Colorado's blood. You know, we saw last year that Colorado let Grubauer walk. They wouldn't pay him what Seattle was willing to pay him. And in this particular case, it looks like Kemper has an idea of what's out there, and it's more than what Colorado was willing to pay.
In your opinion, who do you think has the inside edge to start in between the pipes game one for Colorado this upcoming season?
Oh, that's a great question. I think performance will dictate. They really like that Francouz. I think that's a great question. I think it's going to be an open competition there. I think performance dictates early next year.
Is there anything we need to know about concerning Philip Forsberg here in Nashville? Is there any new news that could be coming down the pike here sometime today or in the very, very near future, in your opinion?
Well, I just think, look, like you guys know my opinion. I really thought that they were going to, this was going to come down to this week or next week, and I really believe there was a path to get it done. So far, I'm 1 for 2. I was right about Letang. I thought that one was going to get done. I thought there was a decent chance Kemper would stay. Obviously, that's not happening. It was not decent enough. I think that what has happened here is they're not far apart, but it's just not been as easy to close. I still think at the end of the day, I think there's still a path to get it done between Forsberg and the Predators. But I will say this, this has been harder than I thought. I think it's been harder than everyone thought, and I always worry about the emotion in times like this. I think if cooler heads prevail, this works out, and I still see a path to a deal, but there's no question it's been harder than everybody thought.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Montreal. Elliot, we've been speculating this. If the offer that has been reported, and David Boyle said it himself, the low eights. So let's say it's somewhere around 8.25 with a full no-trade clause where you get the advantages of being in Nashville and the tax situation you're in.
Yeah,
it looks like realistically somebody would have to go to 9.5 or more to beat that. So who are the teams in your mind? Who are the teams in your mind that could do that?
Well, I think it comes to who's willing to clear room. Like, basically, if New Jersey does the Brinket, they're out. So that leaves Philadelphia. That leaves Seattle. Off the top of my head, they can do it, no problem. But the other thing I think you have to remember is that if Philip Forsberg goes on the market, he's a 40-goal scorer. There's going to be teams that you look at and say, they can't do it, they can't do it, they can't do it. But someone's going to say, we're going to try to do it. Like 40-goal scorers do not become available that often. So I don't think you should necessarily look. Like, look, the obvious cap teams that could do it now that I think would, I mean, Seattle would be foremost. I think Philly would try it. But you have to recognize that there will be teams out there you look and say, oh, they can't afford it. They'll work to do it. And the other thing don't forget is in the summer, you can go 10% over the salary cap.
That is something to keep in mind. You can go over the salary cap in the moment and then fix it later. So
by puck drop. You have to fix it by puck drop.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so along the same lines, it's been kind of quiet, it seems, on Johnny Gaudreau. Anything new there?
I think we're going to know in the next few days. I think this has been a really hard decision for Gaudreau. I think that there's been reasons for him to stay in Calgary. I think there are family reasons for him to go back east. I think he's really wrestled for it. I think the Flames have made him a very competitive offer, and I think the Flames would like to know what's going on. I think we'll know in the next few days at the latest.
JT Miller's another guy that seems to be getting shopped around all over the place. Over 90 points last year, 1 year left on his deal. What are you seeing there?
I think that it hasn't gone as quickly as Vancouver would have thought. I think Washington is in there. I think the Rangers have a lot of things going on. I think the Rangers have a lot of balls in the air, and they're looking for a guy in his price range now, and also who can play the way he plays. I think Washington, I think the Rangers. But I think the Rangers have a lot of balls in the air. I thought New Jersey, but New Jersey is going to be out if they get this to Brinket done. I think it might. I'm 50-50 on him moving today. I think there's a possibility that it takes a bit longer.
So that's interesting. Just if people just joined us, you're speculating that New Jersey, the former captain, the original captain of the Predators, Tom Fitzgerald, wants Alex DeBrincat.
I think so.
All right.
What I'll say is that I believe that they are talking to Chicago about it. And I think there's a possibility that it happens, but it's got to get done.
All right, finish with this, Elliot. Give us your take on Ryan McDonagh and the deal that the Predators got. They actually shedded a contract that I don't think they were planning on keeping anyway in Phil Myers.
Yeah.
So they get McDonagh and get rid of over $2 million off of their cap.
Yeah.
He's 33. What does he have left for them? Is it a good move for Nashville?
I think it's a great move for Nashville. I am a Ryan McDonagh geek. I think he's a hell of a player. When they were winning Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final for a long series, They had 3 minutes left. They were trying to do a one-goal lead. They got a power play. They kept Hedman on the ice. They kept Hedman on the ice for the entire power play. And then, like, the last minute and a half or so, while they were even strength and then down a man because of the empty net, it was McDonough on the ice to protect it. And he's, you know, look, he's got a lot of miles on his body, but he keeps himself in great shape. He's incredibly competitive. He still wants to win. Hold on, let the cement truck go by me. He still wants to win in the worst possible way. He's a great teammate. He will play hard. I think it's a great, great ad for you guys. Great ad. I'm a big Ryan McDonough geek, and he's a hugely popular player in the league.
Great stuff. Well, Elliot, we were very disappointed that we got the schedule yesterday, and we found out that, unlike this past year, because of the issues with the Senators and the COVID, we had 3 or 4 straight days in Montreal. We have them on a back end of a back-to-back this year for our one trip.
No.
So that was a thumbs down to the schedule makers right there. I think we have Toronto, Montreal back-to-back or something like that. But we will not be staying Montreal long enough. So enjoy your time up in that city as much as you can, as busy as you are right now. But thanks a lot for the insight, as always.
You know what? This is a work trip, guys. There's no screwing around. Well, let's not forget that, okay?
It's radio. We can't see your face. Elliot, thanks for doing this. Have fun today and tonight.
All right, guys. Take good care.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. Good stuff, and we were able to keep him the whole segment. How about that? So no new news yet.
It sounded like he was near where Jeff Kilty was yesterday during his interview. This stuff was zooming by, and there was a lot of hustle and bustle going on there, but we got the job done there. So we've got some things to interpret when we come back, don't we?
Let's unpack some things from that interview with Elliot Friedman. We'll do that next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
I think that what has happened here is they're not far apart, but it's just not been as easy to close. I still think at the end of the day, I think there's still a path to get it done between Forsberg and the Predators. But I will say this, this has been harder than I thought. I think it's been harder than everyone thought, and I always worry about the emotion in times like this. I think if cooler heads prevail, this works out, and I still see a path to a deal, but there's no question it's been harder than everybody thought.
There you go. Words from Elliot Friedman to start this hour. I think we all can agree it's been harder than we thought. If you've listened to this show throughout the course of the season, when we had David Poile join us every Tuesday in the second hour, it was kind of a roller coaster ride. There were times when there was no new news. There was nothing. Quiet on the set. Then there was news where David Poile wanted to go there. David Poile wanted to talk about it. We got done going, huh, he felt eager to talk about it. Is that good news? Felt positive. Felt like, hey, maybe something's about to happen. Nothing happened. So there was different emotions throughout the course of the season when we would talk to David Poile, especially around the trading deadline. There was that. So I don't want to speak for you, Willie, but I know we've spoken about this subject so much, so I feel comfortable in saying we both thought that there was a real shot that this would be done by now. But we also knew that, you know, it could change and it could go all the way. I know we've used the 11th hour phrase before, right? It could come right down to the doorstep of the free agency period. But if I'm speaking for me, I thought if you would have asked me, I don't know, 3 months ago, will a deal be done by July 7th? I would have said, yeah. And clearly I would be wrong.
You know,
unless something happens today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to rule out that it could be done today, but I'm also not going to panic if it goes until the final hours. We've seen it happen, and I keep using the same two examples, but there's more than this. But Mikhail Granlin last year, it went right to the wire. Gabriel Landeskog, right to the wire. And Landeskog is a good comparable because it was the eighth year on the line. And I'm telling you, when everybody makes the argument that the Predators lose the rights to offer him 8 years on the 13th, it works the opposite way too. Philip gives away the eighth year if he decides to walk. That eighth year is huge. So I think the Predators may wait this one out if he stands pat. I was very intrigued in Pierre LeBrun's tweet that basically speculated that Philip will take the 8.5. If you go to 8.5, we'll take it. That seemed to be the signal from Pierre LeBrun's tweet earlier today. In so many words, that's the message I got. It was like putting up a billboard to David Poile saying, if you go to 8.5, he'll sign. Did you take it right that way?
Yeah, of course. Again, this is an agent-driven tweet.
Yeah.
That's the agent telling the Predators and David Poile, come up to 8.5, we got a deal. Let's sign it.
Yeah, and I think you've got the agent that has sort of, and if you listen to Jeff Merrick, in his conversations throughout the season with Elliott, I think 8.5 is more or less what a lot of the major national media people have in mind or have had in mind for a long time is 8.5. If you're asking for more than that, I don't think you have anybody on the media really pumping your tires and saying, what are they thinking, man? They need to go higher. But I think 8.5 people feel like would be fair. I'm with you. I'm more like 8.25, especially when it's in Nashville and not any other city. I think you're safely giving him the best deal that he's going to get. You're not asking him for a discount at all when you consider that it's Nashville. But that's me. But so 8.5, we'll see. I think that's really what it's coming down to now. Will the Predators go to 8.5? Or will Phil take a little bit less than 8.5 and get this done? Either way, the percentages are really high that this gets done before crunch time, which is the 13th.
Nate on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I understand Forsberg is a 40-goal scorer, but that's only for one season. If I was a GM, I don't know if I'd trust that one season to be the norm to sign him solely off that. I feel like more people bring the 40-goal scorer stat up more than they should. What say you guys? I mean, I don't think anybody thinks it's – honestly, does anybody really think it's the norm? I mean, everybody wants it to be the norm, but I don't think anybody's really going – the negotiations are not about, hey, in my opinion, it's not about, hey, look, remember, we signed this deal here. We come to an agreement. You better be scoring 40 goals a season.
Yeah.
Look.
If you feel like signing him to a contract entitles you to demand that he scores 40 every year, that's not a good bet.
No.
You know, if he has a couple of 40 goal seasons over the course of the 8 years, that's huge. The key is, does he just do what he's been doing and maintain what he has been, which is a dynamic star player, at times an all-star, not a superstar, but a guy who drives a first line, a legit first line player who should get around 30 and on a good year could get 40. That's a realistic thing. And you know, when he's 33, 34, 35, maybe he's down a tick from that. But for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons, I think you're hoping that he maintains that level that he's shown.
George on Twitter says, he's questioning when you said, in what world is Luke Cunningham a must-sign player? When we were talking about Luke Cunningham, I think you were talking about his age and he's still young.
Well, okay, so here's where I'm going with that. Because I mentioned, okay, here's what's left to get done with the Predators and the cap friendly. People have looked at that cap friendly number really throughout and said, look at all this money, look at all this cap space the Predators have. Well, they just used 6.75 on McDonough. And Elliott had a glowing perception of that trade, right? He really endorsed it. He said, I'm a Ryan McDonough geek.
Mm-hmm.
So he really likes that move. But it's expensive, 6.75 for a guy that's 33. So it says current cap space at Cap Friendly, $18.1 million. So let's budget a little over $8 for Phil. So that brings you down to around $10 million. But you still have the following guys that you got to get done. The D looks pretty set, right? I think they pretty much said they're going to let Matt Benning walk. They're going to let Nick Cousins walk as a forward. Obviously, Ben Harper is going to walk. Now you don't even have to deal with Phil Myers. So you have Luke Kunin, you have Yakov Trenin, and you have Matt Luff as restricted free agents. That's going to cost you a certain amount of dollars out of that $10 million remaining. So you have to decide, are we going to qualify these guys and make an offer? Are you going to qualify Matt Luff? I don't know, but he certainly is not going to be very expensive, right? That's a cheap one. Are you going to qualify Yakov Trenin? Absolutely no doubt about it, right? You want him. And so are you looking to sign him for multiple years? I think that's probably the case. Kunin is the interesting one. He made a little over $2 million last year. Luke Kunin is only 24. He's younger than Tanner Jeannot. He's younger than Yakov Trenin. He's younger than almost every forward on the team when you get down to it. So where do you see him? I don't know, but you certainly aren't just going to give him away. If you don't qualify him with an offer, of which would be over $2 million, it would be closer to $3 million, then he becomes an unrestricted free agent and you get nothing for him. So even if you're going to shop him around and think about trading him, you have to qualify him. So you have to sign him to me, or at least qualify him, right? And then figure out what you want to do from there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to give him away.
No. Nope.
He had 13 goals last year. It wasn't a great year. He didn't show that he belonged on a second line, which maybe you hoped in a perfect world he would. But he's only 24. I can see him being a steady 18 to 20 goal scorer in the league for a long time. Is that unrealistic?
He's a third line player, in my opinion.
Yeah, who I think could fill in on the second line. He's just not an ideal guy that you put in there and say he's a second line guy. He's probably a slight notch below a Craig Smith, who was probably a solid second line player, right? Kunin hasn't
scored
proven
20
that
more goals a year. I think you yes,
right.
You can make that case.
And so but I'm not sure that Kunin couldn't have a 20 goal year, maybe even on a great year, go to 23, 24 goals. I don't think that's completely unrealistic. I think he's a good player, and he helps you win. He's a rugged player. He plays hard. He's got a good attitude. So he's a guy you don't mind having on your team, but you're looking to upgrade the second line on this particular Predators team. But at the same time, you can't just give away Luke Kunin for nothing. You want to keep his rights so that if you lose him, you're trading him to somebody and you're not just letting him go to free agency where you get no compensation.
Craig Smith had 20 or more goals 5 out of 6 seasons and would
right.
have hit it with the circumstances. So he was a 20 or more goal scorer every year. And so you could justify that. Luke Kunin's never had 20 goals. It doesn't mean that he won't.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean
that
can't 24. Change. But right now, there is no proof whatsoever that he belongs on a second line. Like I said, he's a third-line guy. If things change, obviously subject to change. But there's no reason to even say, but he could slide up. No, he can't slide up until he does it. His production has got to go up. I mean, it's just got to – I mean, the most points he's ever had in a season is 30. 31, something like that. I mean, that's the most points he's ever had. You can't have guys on the second line producing 30 points. I mean, it's got to get way better.
But
like I said,
time,
I think he's like a third-line guy.
But he's had good playoff games. He's a hard-nosed player that hits, right? He's a physical player, which fits the way they want to play. So could you see a bounce back to where he does get something close to the 20 goals? I don't think that's completely a stretch. But the problem is you already have Jeannot, you have Trenin, you have some solid pieces on your bottom six, and you're looking for specifically the guy on the second line. And is Kunin a fit there? Maybe not, but he might be a really nice fit for another team that's looking for a third-line rugged guy that does exactly what he does for a reasonable price, who has some upside, I think he would be attractive. So you got to keep him as an asset.
We'll continue the discussion on the other side. It's a good one. Don't forget, 4 hours of coverage around the draft tonight, starting at 6 o'clock on these airwaves. And if you're out on the west side of town, head out to Fordyce Center in Bellevue. Head upstairs, and you can watch it in person. More of DDC next.
The advantages of being in Nashville and the tax situation you're in.
Yeah.
It looks like realistically somebody would have to go to 9.5 or more to beat that. So who are the teams in your mind that could do that?
Well, I think it comes to who's willing to clear room. Like, basically, if New Jersey does the Brinket, they're out. So that leaves Philadelphia. That leaves Seattle. Off the top of my head, they can do it no problem. But the other thing I think you have to remember is that if Philip Forsberg goes on the market, he's a 40-goal scorer. There's going to be teams that you look at and say, they can't do it, they can't do it, they can't do it. But someone's going to say, we're going to try to do it. Like, 40-goal scorers do not become available that often. So I don't think you should necessarily look. Like, look, the obvious cap teams that could do it now that I think would, I mean, Seattle would be foremost. I think Philly would try it. But you have to recognize that there will be teams out there you look and say, oh, they can't afford it. They'll work to do it. And the other thing, don't forget, is in the summer you can go 10% over the salary.
Elliot Friedman to begin this hour of the DDC. You know what jumped out at me during that clip and when we were talking to him? You know how many times we read text or tweets or people called in and said, well, why would he want to sign here? I mean, this franchise has to prove to him they're a cup contender. Really? Did that sound like cup contenders right there in that list? Seattle?
Philadelphia is not.
Really? Philadelphia? New Jersey? What? If New Jersey doesn't make this DeBrincat deal? New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Seattle? Well, let's see. How would you rank Nashville, Seattle, Philadelphia, and New Jersey? Who would you rank one?
Nashville.
Let me think about it. Oh, wait a minute. I just did. Nashville. I mean,
yeah.
So for everybody that thought, oh, my gosh, this team has got to be viewed as a cup contender, or why in the world would he sign back here? Well, Elliot Friedman just threw out three teams. If there's a plan B, C, or D, as David Poyle said, and those could be the options, Seattle, Philadelphia, New Jersey, those teams aren't even close.
They're not close. I would say that New Jersey has done the groundwork on a good young team. I think Tom Fitzgerald's done a nice job. You know, Jack Hughes is just scratching the surface of what he's going to be. Nico Hischier, it was the first pick overall. He's a good player. They got Jesper Bratt, who they're about to re-sign. I think they've got the pieces. They've done a lot of the dirty work to get the young nucleus, but they really have no goalie. They just got P.K. Subban's big contract off the books, so they have room to go after some people. This DeBrincat move, I think, if they could pull that off, and remember, they can dangle the second pick in the draft. They've been dangling it.
Would you do it if you were Chicago?
Not for just the second
I'm
pick.
A hard
I think
no.
There would be more guys.
I mean,
I would.
You would do it if you were Chicago?
Chicago is pretty much put it out there. They're going to trade DeBrincat. And so if you can get the second pick in the draft and in a package, that's pretty attractive, I think.
Yeah,
are you going to get a better deal than that? I don't know. I don't know what other people are announcing. But Elliot put that out there.
It's an okay draft. We're being told it's an okay draft.
Oh, you're not getting Jack Eichel
as
the second pick, I don't think. It doesn't look like you're getting that kind of guy. But you could get a really good player.
Doesn't even sound like you're getting Patrick Laine.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I don't know. But, that's not the only thing you're getting, right? You would, in theory, you would get somebody else and maybe another prospect in the maybe three pieces that you would feel good about it. I don't know. I mean, if Elliot's putting it out there, that means it's got to have some weight to it. But let's say DeBrinket, that's out there, but also, hey, let's see, Forsberg's going to hit the market. And instead of DeBrinket, you have Forsberg. Are you a championship team anytime soon? No. But, I mean, do you think in the next 3 or 4 years you'd have a really good team? That's the hope for Tom Fitzgerald. But I see, I 100% see what you're saying. In the immediate term, no, they're not anywhere close, especially in the division they play in with all those teams, Rangers, Islanders, Carolina. I mean, that's a tough conference right there. And they're going from way down low on the totem pole right now.
So you got the tweet from George. Mike tweets at me and says, you are potentially wrong in your definitive opinion on what is happening. Maybe they have the $9.5 million offer, which is my JP over here.
Yeah, Mr. Barry.
And that is what is allowing them to dig in at 8.75, acknowledging tax-friendly environment and a player preference to stay. Well, I guess my pushback on that, Mike, would be they're not dug in. That's the whole point of this news coming out today with Pierre. They're not dug in. If they were dug in, there wouldn't be a Pierre LeBrun tweet. That's my whole point. That this is a agent-driven tweet. Okay, he's getting that from J.P. Barrie. And J.P. Barrie is essentially telling him, hey, man, we're at 8.75. They're at 8.25. They just meet in the middle. I got a pen in my hand right now to hand to Phillip. We'll sign it right now. That's not dug in. Dug in means there wouldn't be any new news if there was that, hey, JP, July 13th, we're going to knock your socks off. He doesn't have that offer. That's the reason my percentages just went up. This news is telling me, now I'm at 82.3%, Willie, which is by far the highest I've been. 82.3%. That it sounds like this thing is headed toward, because if you're doing that, you're not saying that there is some special offer out there. You're just trying to push this one along and get it over with. That's what it tells me. Those signals to me are saying, look, this is where this is going to end up. Can we be done with this? Okay, we're one place, you're another. We've agreed on everything else. Can we meet in the middle and call it a day and let's get on with it? That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay. I mean, I hope you're right.
Do you agree or disagree?
I'm rooting for this to get done. I think I tend to agree. I've kind of thought that all along, not just recently, that it's just going to be hard to beat the entire package of something in the neighborhood of 8.25 to stay. The eighth year, the tax situation, and the team. It's the devil you know. And no pun intended for the New Jersey Devils. We just went over there sort of where they are right now. It's not perfect. I think the big question, if you're looking at an eight-year run for Philip Forsberg, is what does it look like as you get about halfway through that deal and you have Matt Duchene, Roman Josi, Mattias Ekholm, Ryan McDonagh, Ryan Johansson, all guys who are a little bit older than he is, really getting into that mid-30, upper-30 range. What do you do then? Well,
Ryan Johansson's deal would probably be up by then.
Ryan Johansson is not as old as people think, and he's only got, what, three or four years left?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's not the perfect example, but, I just think that you got to replenish, though, at some point. Mikhail Granlund would be another guy in that range, right? You got a third. We joked about the old TV show on ABC, the 30 somethings. That would be the question, is if you want to play and give yourself a best chance to win the cup, what's the biggest question mark? I think the next few years, you got a team that is a veteran, is good, great balance of veterans who are not past their prime and a good young nucleus that might lack superstar young talent. You got to hope that somebody like Tomasino really comes on or somebody like that. You've got great goaltending. So I think you got some really, really good things going for you. But I think there is a question of, in 3 or 4 years, as you go to the midway point of that contract, what does the team look like? Can they turn it back over with that part of the roster? Fair question.
Do you agree?
But that's any team, right? No, what team has eight straight years of having a chance to win the cup every single year? It's rare.
Mm-hmm.
Only the top of the top of the top, and none of those teams are out there. I mean, there's no guarantee right now that he could sign up with a team right on the cusp of going there.
Well, quite honestly, we trust Elliot. And Elliot, we trust. His info is as good as it gets. He basically, he's the Adam Schefter of hockey, in my opinion. In the hockey circles, in the world of hockey, he's the Adam Schefter. And if he's saying those are the
Absolutely.
Three teams.
Those are the three teams that have the funds to get up to $9.5 million a year, which is what it would take to have him
get more dollars. That, quite honestly,
should
push my percentages up even more. I mean, if those are the three teams, like, what are we talking about? Philip Forsberg is leaving here to go to Seattle, New Jersey, or Philadelphia? Get out of here. No way.
Now, again, let's, for people that missed it, and we just played the clip at the beginning of the segment, but he did say that other teams could sort of come out of nowhere.
Of course.
If he hits the market and say, you know what, we'll go over our budget for now and we'll shed the salary cap space necessary. We'll make room for Philip Forsberg. He did give an X factor. There could be teams like that.
But he had to say,
yeah, he meant to know those three. There are not a lot of teams that have that kind of money in the budget to go make a big splash like that for a 9.5 or more average per year.
Come back, put a bow on Thursday's edition of the DDC. We do that next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville Lab. Is there anything we need to know about concerning Philip Forsberg here in Nashville? Is there any new news that could be coming down the pike here sometime today or in the very, very near future, in your opinion?
Well, I just think, look, like you guys know my opinion. I really thought that they were going to, this was going to come down to this week or next week, and I really believe there was a path to get it done. I think that what has happened here is they're not far apart, but it's just not been as easy to close. I still think at the end of the day, I think there's still a path to get it done between Forsberg and the Predators. But I will say this, this has been harder than I thought. I think it's been harder than everyone thought. And I always worry about the emotion in times like this. I think if cooler heads prevail, this works out. And I still see a path to a deal. But there's no question it's been harder than everybody thought.
There you go, Elliot Friedman with us to begin this hour. Don't forget, Sounds Baseball tonight, game 3 of this 6-game road trip in Columbus, Ohio. The Columbus Clippers. That's the affiliate of, yes, the Guardians. Mm-hmm. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:50 on 94.9 The Fan. First pitch at 6:05. Jeff Hem will be on the call, not Willie and Max. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. A little birdie told me that Jared loves Columbus, Ohio. People should call in and ask him. I heard he loves that place. One of his favorite towns. How about this text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com? This is from Andrew from Dover. Philip Forsberg will sign with the Preds before the free agent market opens. 8 years, $8.4 million, no trade clause, 82%. That's his percentages. 82%, that will happen. 8 years, $8.4
million. 8.4, interesting.
8.4.
So let's remember what do we know? We know David Poile went on the record to Dan Rosen from NHL.com said, we've offered 8 years. We've offered a full no trade clause. We are in the low eights. Low eights to me would be somewhere between 8 and 8.25. We know, according to Pierre LeBrun and some others, that Philip Forsberg's camp is asking more in the, quote, high eights. So we interpret that to be somewhere in the 8.75 range. And then you had Pierre LeBrun's very intriguing tweet basically saying, it seems plausible that if you offered 8.5, Forsberg would sign. You can read his tweet verbatim, but I think that's the message. That if they meet in the middle at 8.5, the deal would be done. It seems like Nashville is really trying to push to get it for a little bit under 8.5. Either way, the overwhelming percentages look like this is going to get done one way or the other. So is that a fair assessment of where we sit right now heading into draft night? You'd love to have this buried and done and in the back of your mind over with so you could focus on this draft tonight. And for example, if you wanted to, we mentioned Luke Kunin earlier. Luke Kunin, what if you shopped around Luke Kunin and the first round pick? Could you find something there? That
for
might
what?
for something on the
a
second
top
line.
Top six score, okay.
A top six guy. Well, that's the only thing they need, right? The rest of their roster looks pretty set when you get down to it.
Yep,
you'd like to upgrade your second line. And you don't have that much money to do it if Philip Forsberg is budget. But if you don't know exactly if you have Phil or not, and you don't know exactly how you're left over, you know, it makes it a little tougher, I would say, to do that. You could still do it. But if that's something you wanted to explore, then it just makes it a little, it'd be nice to have that deal done. But I think they're going to, I think they're very well willing to wait beyond tonight to get this deal done. Do you agree?
Yes, of course.
Because they've already, according to Darren Drager, they've already met this morning to try to nail it down, and it didn't happen.
I will just say this. The text line disagrees with you on Luke Kunin. Vehemently.
What are they saying? Top. Just let him walk for nothing? Is that what they're saying?
I don't want to read these. They disagree with you on your assessment of Luke Kunin.
Well, what is my assessment of Luke Kunin?
Well, I mean, if you want me to read, I mean,
read it.
There's many. Let's just start with Gator Tim. Willie, you are delusional. Luke Kunin sucks. Comparing him to Craig Smith is a joke.
Did I say he was as good as Craig Smith? I said he was a notch below Craig Smith.
He said he has no chance of getting 20 goals. Now, I don't know if
no chance of getting 20 goals. He had 13 last year in a bad year.
Yeah.
He had 15 his rookie year at age 22 in 63 games. 15 in 63 games. He had 10 in 38 games last year. Not this past year, but the year before, the shortened season. So that's a 20-goal pace. 10 goals in 38 games is over 20 in an 82 season. So when you say it's no prayer for a 20 goal season, I think you need to look at the math a little bit more. True?
Matt, I mean, I can't go that far.
Is that unrealistic?
Can he score 20 goals? Of course he can score. He could.
I didn't say he was as good as Craig Smith. I said Craig Smith is the baseline of a second line center, consistent 20 goal scorer. Luke Kunin has not proven he can do that. But I'm saying, is it a stretch that he could have that kind of career? No, it's not that big of a stretch. He's got a ways to go, but he's only 24.
He's a third line guy, and through half of the season last year, he was a fourth line guy with his production.
I agree. Ideally, he's a third line guy, and this team is looking for a second line guy. That's why I'm asking the question.
There is a lot of people on the text line. Again, I don't need to read. It's just all like they do not agree with Luca. There's a lot of dumb penalty comments too. He takes way too many dumb penalties.
Well, he did. I didn't think he had a really good year last year, but he's still young. What I'm saying is, I think he's a trade piece. This all started with a guy saying, "Why would you want to re-sign Kunin?" And my point is, you don't let a guy like that go for nothing.
Well, Justin,
you don't just turn him off into the wilderness and get nothing for him.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are
saying, if you want to trade him, that's fine.
Why would you give something for Cunningham?
Because he's 24. He was a first-round pick. He's a pretty good player. He's not what you hope he would be right now, but he's a good, solid NHL player. He's going to play in this league for the next 8 to 10 years. Now, what role that is, that's a different question. Is he a second-line player? I don't know. He's not at this point. He was given every opportunity to play on the second line last year, and he did not take advantage of that. But he's a solid NHL player that has some upside, and he's 24. He's younger than Tanner Jeannot.
There's another theme. It's an unnamed texter. Willie is delusional. Cunning is an ocean below Craig Smith. So you get the theme, okay? I told you, and I didn't want to read all this stuff, but you wanted me to read them. So there you go. I read them. I told you. They disagreed. They disagree.
I'm glad people are listening. We do disagree, I never said he's Craig Smith. I didn't say that. I said he's a notch below Craig Smith. Craig Smith is the baseline second line winger.
Everybody, listen tonight starting at 6 o'clock. Roby Stanley from our morning show. Ville Donick from our midday show. And C-Mace out at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. Coverage begins at 6. It'll go for 4 hours. Will they be talking about a Forsberg deal? I don't know. You'll have to tune in and find out. Have a great rest of your day. We'll wrap up the week with you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.